This is Rick Burgess from The Rick Burgess Show. If you're still auto-renewing your car insurance without shopping around, you are probably throwing money away. I'm telling you, go check out Insurify. In about 2 minutes, totally free, you can compare quotes from over 100 companies all in one place. Now, here's what I love. Insurify actually monitors your rates and alerts you when prices drop, so you never miss out on a better deal. Millions of people have used it to stop overpaying, and there's no reason you shouldn't too. Do yourself a favor. See what you can save right now at Insurify.com.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That 2 hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
All right, second hour here on Robbie and Rex Road. We are sponsored by First Horizon. Big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. PK in today for Robbie. Robbie is on the mend, getting better. We will see how he's doing today, but the, you know, signs are positive. Also, would like to invite everybody to tune in to 94.9 The Fan tonight for Vanderbilt women's basketball. Very good team. Huge win over Tennessee over the weekend. Commodores taking on Arkansas Memorial Gym. 6:30 p.m. tip-off. Pregame show at 6:15. Coverage also available on 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Vanderbilt women's basketball presented by Athletes Unlimited Pro Basketball. Coming to Nashville's Municipal Auditorium from February 5th through March 2nd. Go to auprobasketball.com for more details and to purchase tickets. We are broadcasting, PK, from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. And we're talking about the Titans. We've talked about Borgonzi, Brinker. Again, Borgonzi coming in makes it perfect that this era of Titans football, Burke, Borgonzi, Brinker, is Berserker. That is what I've named it, and that's what I will – Berserker. I don't expect you. You're such a boomer. I don't even expect you to understand it. But hey,
we're so different, Nate.
Keezer, can you play this for him at some point? Get Berserker lined up for. There's no way you understand the reference because you're a boomer, even though you're of an age that you should. But I
because you go with very obscure references.
This is not an obscure reference at all. This is a very popular movie in the '90s. But I don't expect you to understand it. But they are Berserker, is what they are. Although we could be talking about baking with Borgonzi. What was some of the
Borgonzi scheme?
The Borgonzi scheme, not bad.
I'll go with Borgo.
I'll go with Borgo. Okay.
Or let's go with Borgo.
Let's go with Borgo. Okay.
These are all slogans I don't want people to adopt yet. I want them to wait.
So you have to win. Yeah. When did like
winning first, slogan second, and I think
when did
J-Rob We Trust
start?
J. Rob We Trust might have started when he cried at the opening press conference when he read his little statement about being from Union City or wherever he's from,
right?
And pulled at people's heartstrings about being a local.
I mean, his first draft, you know, the whole. I mean,
but
he traded the number one pick right away. He got DeMarco Murray right away. Right,
he drafted 3 All Pros in his first draft.
Yeah, have you got that, Keezer?
He got results.
Yeah, go ahead, play this for Kaharski, or don't.
Today though, I might be here tomorrow, but probably not.
My love for you is like a truck Balzaka. Would you like some making Balzaka?
You have no idea what that is.
I don't recognize it, and I don't think applying it to the Titans makes sense.
Burke, Borgonzi, and this is before Borgonzi, but Burke and Brinker, Berserker. I'm sorry, it's perfect. Go watch the movie Clerks. It's a great movie. It came out in the '90s.
Clerks. Again, you're like one of these guys. I like film, right?
Okay.
Cinema, if you will.
Yes.
But I watch a film. And I don't memorize it like all you guys do.
Or you
like,
don't
like, you know,
remember.
This reminds me of that line at 1 hour and 3 minutes in Clerks. I've never forgotten it. I forget it. I watch a movie. I'm like, that was a good movie. There were a few memorable scenes, but I haven't memorized them.
So what
I
was
smoked weed constantly.
I didn't.
Yes, well done.
I didn't memorize any of the Shakespeare that I had to read, which is significantly more important than Clerks. But the fact that you guys have compartmentalized brains where you store some of this stuff. I mean, I don't remember to take out the trash. I don't remember stuff that's really important to my marriage. I'm certainly not going to remember a line from Clerks from 1994.
Well, everybody's brain is different, but see, but the whole remember to take out the trash, that's, I'm with you on that. The short-term stuff now is absolutely in one ear, out the other. I can tell you, like, Detroit Tigers lineup specifics from 1983.
Yeah, we all with have some of that.
Okay, well, this is a great scene from a great movie. What do you remember from the movie Clerks?
I enjoyed it.
That you liked it. I remember that I liked it. All right, well, I'm going to ask you to remember yesterday. Let's see if we can get to yesterday with you. Okay, we'll try.
I've got a lot of notes.
Good. Write everything down. Leave a little trail as you try to get home. You know, leave a little trail of breadcrumbs. So the Brinker conversation I thought was, again, much more interesting. And I think, you know, we talked about this in the first hour, but the whole, are you the most insulated person or are you actually the most at-risk person here? I would argue that Brian Callahan is the person of interest this year for the Tennessee Titans, because Brinker may have convinced Amy Adams Strunk to that, you know what, we need 3 years and you just have to not think about the results and we got to draft, we got to develop, and then let's look up at that point. But I think that it's hard to make that case as a coach, right?
Like, yes.
I mean, you can't. So, but let me ask you this.
Plus, Callahan is going to have a hand in who the next quarterback is. And he's, you know, for lack of a better term, and I know he didn't choose the quarterbacks anywhere he was, but he came here with a reputation for having influenced all of these great quarterbacks he was with. Either having taken some of their shine, learned stuff from them,
slash helped.
And had a bearing on their success.
Yeah, well, he should. I mean, I heard this is a side note that you've now sent me on because I want to get to the patience thing and what it really means. But this idea of, like Callahan now being less involved or removed from personnel, that's stupid.
Absolutely, this is. If Borgonzi's coming in and he's going to give Brian Callahan players that he doesn't want or like, that is a super fast route to continue to not have success.
Like, we make fun of collaboration, and that word did come up yesterday, and it should be, and the Titans should be lampooned for that and all that. But let's be real. If you don't have collaboration on your personnel, with your personnel people and your coach, you're doomed. You're absolutely doomed.
Here's the degree to which I envision that might happen. Yeah, you get a seventh rounder, and the coach says, I really don't see it. And the GM says, look, let's just try it with this guy. Trust me, I really got a feeling about him, and I think we could develop him. The coach says, all right, I'll trust you on this. We'll work with him.
That happens all the time.
Yeah, to that degree, like a seventh rounder. But they're not doing that with a third rounder.
Yeah.
Where the GM saying, no, we got to have this guy. And the coach saying, I don't know. And the GM saying, no, we're taking him.
So, again, you've now sent me on another side street before we get to what we were going to talk about.
Remember what we were going to talk about because I've forgotten. Like Clerks.
Yes. I count on the text line. The text line helps me with these things. It's like my own little personal,
notation device.
My little helper brain. But the final say stuff, whole bunch of that yesterday. I mean, what do you – I think we've both talked about how
your afternoon buddy was confused. It was resolved, and he just kept coming back. No, I still don't get it. Can we go back? Can we do it again?
This is when Brinker said, "Everybody, we all get it. We're on the same page."
He said, "No, that was fine." But after that, it was resolved, and then he re-raised
at the presser. Yeah. The whole like, if you have this, that guy. Okay,
maybe that was him just fishing for clips.
Okay, so. So did you learn anything from this, or is it just exactly what you thought?
I think it's pretty much exactly what we thought. I mean, the thing about it is, look, Borgonzi talked about titles being insignificant in Kansas City. That's fine because Andy Reid is running things, so you know where it is.
Yeah, but I also have an issue with that because it's like, I mean, he still was – you know, his title still dictated his job.
Borgonzi's running the draft meetings and free agency strategy, and Brinker hired him to do so. But Brinker's his boss. He has the power to break ties. He has no intention of being some sort of overlord. I wrote this yesterday. That's it. If we're ultimately looking to blame or praise, well, Brinker is the one allowing or preventing things from happening. But Borgonzi will be setting everything in motion. It's not as neat and tidy as we want, but that's it. That's it. So Brinker allows something to happen or doesn't allow something to happen, but Borgonzi's the one setting all those things in motion to happen.
Yeah. Look, this is a media thing that – and a fan thing, but it's a reasonable one, which is
– when you're bad, we want to know who's right. on the hook.
Whose fault is it? Who's on the hook? Also, when you're good – you know, and I'm fine with like everybody share credit, share blame, but that's how I mean, that's kind of how I look at it, right? Is like, I think it's a little bit of a strange situation, and to me, it's those two guys. I look at them as Borgonzi said yesterday, flat out the words, I'm picking the players, but also they talked about, which is how I think it should be. You know, that like the whole idea of like, well, I'm standing up for this guy, like top of the draft. I love Cam Ward. I don't love Cam Ward, right? Well, okay, but that gets worked out. It gets worked out way in advance, and you have to come to a consensus on it. So it's both of them.
I also think the odds – I think people make too much of the chance that two guys of a similar ilk who have been friends for a long, long time would look at the same player, Cam Ward, and see drastically different things. Right from the start.
Yeah.
I love him. I hate him. What are the odds that these two guys who came up in the same grading system looking for the same kinds of players are going to look at that guy and have exactly opposite takes on him?
Not high, but I mean, look, everybody in this league is dead wrong on quarterbacks all the time, right? So it doesn't have to be that drastic. It can just be, okay, I see this. I see that with you, too. I just don't think it's quite going to get there. Well, I think he's going to all come together for him. And, I mean, they're wrong all the time. And it sets the direction of your franchise.
Right.
Right?
But and look, I want to know final
We're
say
wrong.
As
Everybody's
much as
wrong.
Everybody. But I don't think it's crazy to think that Brinker, Borgonzi, and Callahan could sit down over the course of months, look at those guys, and come to a unified conclusion about them.
That's the most likely result.
Right.
But
that's
I don't,
what everybody
But I don't
does.
Think it's crazy to think that there could be disagreements, right?
No, it's not.
All right, we come back. We are going to get into patience. What does that really mean with this new structure with the Titans? Coming up, Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. Hit us up on the game phone text line driven by WilsonCountyHigh.com, 615-737-1025. We're popping left and right. We got the text line going. Brian says, I'd like to hear Paul Olaf Kuharski perform Berserker, please. So if you could do that before the end of the show, we'd appreciate that. Give you some time to warm up your vocal cords.
La 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 la.
There you go. And then the YouTube chat is just all over you on your RAM report. So I'm actually have to cape for you and defend you in the YouTube chat. My gosh, look at the trouble you cause. But let me ask you this, PK. How much time is Amy going to give these people to make this not the worst team in the NFL anymore and an actual competitive football team again?
Well, they're pleading with her for patience, at least through these press conferences and statements they made in conversations with media.
Is that what they're doing? They're sending public smoke signals to her? Is that what we're doing here?
It certainly is some of the residue of it. They're saying they've talked with her about it. She understands it. Whether she understands it or not, them continuing to talk about it publicly can't help but reinforce the idea. We don't know how much she's bought into it. She could be saying she's bought into it, but the wrong law, you know, they lose to the Texans at the wrong time. God knows what happens in the Super Bowl, the twice annual Tennessee Titans Super Bowl. That's one thing that needs to be fixed, is the importance of that game as opposed to 2 of 17.
But again, if it's just her, it's just her, right? I mean, it's just an ownership It's always going to be personal, right?
Yeah, she needs to let that go. You know, she's getting her second stadium, her family's second stadium in Nashville. It's time to be about Nashville, not worry about your grudge with Houston anymore. Well, Let's just let that go.
She just didn't show up in Nashville for a press conference announcing her general manager. How do you figure that's going to happen?
Well, it's again, can anybody talk to her? Can anybody get through to her? What's her nephew doing? Kenneth, are you out there? Do you have any influence? I've heard that you've receded. Receded from what? There's not anybody over there that knows what he does.
So what's your guess? So you, it sounds like you think.
I think there's got to be.
Everybody should pause and not assume that they're getting 2 years of being bad and everything will stay.
How bad?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good question.
I mean, I think it's all about progress.
Yeah, you've got to have
some kind of progress. I think they could get away with 6 wins next year. Maybe. But, you know, when is she angry and what triggers her? I don't know the answer to those things. She's so insulated.
If it's 6 wins, PK, then these guys will probably pick a new coach. And that may be unfair to Brian Callahan, but that would be my guess. Is that's the next, okay, here's the scapegoat. Here's the person who, because this year it's Rand and Levis, all their fault. So next year it would be Brian. If it's, because look, I think that in this league, you can go from 3 to 8. You can absolutely go from 3 to 8. Look at their schedule next year.
Well, last time they went from 3 to 9.
Right.
But last time they won 3.
I think that's what Brian Callahan, I think that's what he needs. Now, obviously, Bergonzi's just hired, and Brinker, Bergonzi, you know, that's what I'm wondering is, like, what does patience really mean? Is it just they're asking for it, or does Brinker have any sort of conversation with her that leads him to believe he's going to get that rope?
You know, and then, I think, too, it needs more than 6. But, like, is a good-looking 7 enough? Is a good-looking 8 enough? You know, and then people are going to ask us all off-season, you know, what's the number? What's the number? As if there's a hard-line number. I doubt she's setting a hard-line number. And is she doing the hard-line number setting? I mean, ultimately, yeah, it's her. And you know, she could step out and make a decision at any time. But we're being led to believe that she's empowering Chad to make these kind of decisions.
Yeah, I mean it's a really interesting situation in terms of, you know, you talk about the number and everybody's talking about it, and to me it's like what's the experience of, you know, how are you losing or winning games, right? You can have a good 7 in terms of you lost to the best teams on your schedule. You lost like a bunch of close games, and you were right there. And you know it wasn't because your punt team looked like a JV high school team that couldn't protect your punter. It wasn't because your quarterback is trying to bowl instead of pass the football. And, you know, things like that. There was some of the ways they lost last year. On top of going 3-14, it was as bad as you can get, right?
Do you have a rookie quarterback? Do you have a veteran quarterback?
Yeah, that's true, too.
You know, if you have a rookie quarterback, are you sure? Again, you know, what's
the trajectory? You're going to have to live with maybe some losses you don't want, that maybe a game-managing veteran gets you the win. But, yes, you see it with the – now, you know – I thought I saw something 2 years ago. I think you did too, and a lot of people did with that rookie quarterback, and then we saw what happened. So even if you think you're on the – I mean, it's funny too, because the last 2 years in this league, Paul, we've seen C.J. Stroud do what he did, but then Jaden Daniels this year take it to a completely other level too, right?
Insane.
Yeah.
Drake May looked pretty good, but they didn't win.
Well, right. But Drake May, yeah, he looked pretty good. You see some problems. That's more – realistic, right? That's more what you can reasonably expect. These two guys, though, took it just off the charts, which is another thing that, to me, is only going to serve to accelerate all these things in this league, right? I mean, when rookies play like that, all that's going to do is, Why can't we have that?
Yeah, you
why
got two playoff trips for Stroud, and you've got a first-year championship game appearance with the potential for a Super Bowl for Daniels. I mean, those are the ideal scenarios. But you also have, you know, draft year luck, which the Titans haven't been great at. The years they've had the best picks haven't been the years with the best players.
Well,
and you wind up
but
with
John
Pac-Man
Robinson's,
Jones.
But John Robinson's first year worked out great. That was a great draft for them because they moved one, right?
Yes.
They moved pick one.
They moved pick one. They had to go all the way Pac-Man down to 15, and they moved all the way back up to 8.
To get Conklin, right. But they end up getting Derrick Henry, obviously. In
but
that
you
draft.
Only got 4 years
Kevin
Byard out
of in that
Conklin.
Draft.
You know. So there were goods and bads to it. But the people that he got Conklin and Byard and Henry, I mean, that's a huge victory. You can't ask for better than that.
And you had
and that he misses on Dodd, you know, that makes it okay because your hit rate's not going to be 100%.
By the way, did you read the Chad Graff, Zach Rosenblatt, Vrabel story in The Athletic?
Yeah, over at Corner Pub hanging out. It's great.
No, actually. No. That's the Zach Rosenblatt. No, but Graff and Rosenblatt did a new one on him off the Patriots. So you didn't see the
no,
Dodd stuff? Okay. Well, do we have time?
We said only football players sit in this room?
Yeah.
Well, that story's been known for a long time.
Did you write that?
Has anybody written that? Somebody's written it.
Somebody has written it? Okay. Because, yeah, it was like, nope, you can't sit there either. Nope, you can't sit there either. And finally, I hadn't heard that story.
Yeah.
Was that the day that you were chasing him down as he wore a helmet? That was fun time out there.
That's typical. Why can't we hear from Kevin Dodd? Paul, why did you chase Kevin Dodd like that? You're so mean.
When we come back, Preds pick to click, and then we'll get back into this discussion. Robbie Rex, 102.5, 106.3 of the game.
It's time for Preds Picks to Click.
And a shot at a score.
Do you think you know who will score a goal in tonight's Predators game?
Little give and go.
Shoot your shot for a chance to win Preds tickets. Call 615-737-1025 now. It's Pick to Click, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
All right, it is that time again. We got a Preds game, and we got a Preds Pick to Click, and we've got a standings update, which is me with 11 leading the way, and that's two of the – yeah, turn your mic
How
on.
Many of those were mine?
Two. So I appreciate it. But now you get to pick for Robbie, so you can give the magic touch for Robbie. Listeners with 6, Robbie with 6, Nick with 4. Ouch. And we got Caleb calling in. Caleb, who's your pick for Preds Pick to Click?
Hey, good morning, guys. So Forsberg is who I'm going to go with. Hopefully he can keep his streak going, make it 17 tonight.
There you go. Thank you, Caleb. Philip Forsberg is the pick. And I am going to I'm first after that. I'm going to go with Marchessault. I'm going to keep rolling with Marchessault myself. PK, your pick.
I'll go Stamkos.
Steven Stamkos. So we got Forsberg, we got Marchessault, we got Stamkos, Nick Kieser. Time for a deep cut.
Go with not a deep cut. I'll go with Roman Josi.
Roman Josi. All right.
I mean,
there
how
you
often
go.
Did we go off those four?
Kieser has had some interesting picks this year.
Robbie had some good ones too. Robbie's hit a few.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've had a couple of deep cuts and so has he. So but PK, you could be going 3 for 3 possibly.
Oh, I'm going 3.
I hope you do, so I can stop hearing Robbie complain about how you are helping me lead the competition. So I hope you get him one here. So now back into the Titans, PK. First of all, the YouTube chat, people are still mad at you about the Rand story. A lot of people
I just don't understand that people, multiple people, have told me these things, and that to them these things are significant. I don't understand why that's so hard to comprehend.
So there were questions to Chad Brinker yesterday about Rand, and so I think some good questions. Like again, primarily, what is it about you that makes it so that you're the one who's okay, but Rand's not? He talked. You were in the room. So this is one of those things where.
The room where it happened.
This is one of those things where I would have liked to hear this. You know, I think it'd be good for this to be video, audio. But it read to me like someone who was possibly getting emotional, but certainly talking about how emotional he was about Ran and their friendship and all these things. You know, I mean, forever and ever, there are going to be people who assume Chad Brinker stabbed him in the back, and I have no idea what happened. I don't know what the conversations were like. You know, someone on the text line today said, you know, are we sure that Brinker didn't just tell Amy, like, look, he's messing this up and that up? But one thing that Brinker did say in that session was, he said, I did not have authority. He said, I had
responsibility. But not authority.
Did you take that as, I mean, did you take yesterday overall as a gentle, well, Rand screwed a lot of things up? Or am I overreading things?
I think he's sincere about Rand Carthon. Rand Carthon hired him and brought him in. And they were friends at the beginning, at the very least. I don't know how heavy-handed Chad was about expressing Rand's shortcomings or how obvious those were to Burke, Nihil, and Amy Adams Strunk. But no matter what Burke did or didn't do, Burke didn't promote himself to president of football operations over Rand in 1 year.
Brinker didn't.
You would have had to do some amazing work to climb that ladder in 1 year without Nihil and Strunk seeing something, to me. I mean, you're just going to take the guy's word for it and promote without seeing something on the downside? Like, I understand in the worst case scenario, whatever kind of scenario you want to draw up about Brinker being a bad guy, you also still would have to see some things with Ran with your own eyes to make that jump, wouldn't you? I would think so. So even if Brinker, and I don't know if he did or he didn't, worked his ass off to climb over Ran, to me, the powers that be still would have had to have seen something bad about Ran to make that flip, to take his employee who he hired and give him more power, and to reduce Ran's power and to narrow it to this strictly personnel focus. Now, I don't know how much I know, but all indications that I've received were that there maybe only was one occasion on which Brinker and Rand butted heads on personnel, and that it was Rand's deal.
What was that?
I don't know.
Oh, you don't know what it was. Okay. Text line, driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. Text yourself.
And I don't think that Rand was fired purely over personnel. That's why I wrote what I wrote. And that's why they're talking ball all the time, 24-hour-a-day ball, itching to be ball,
well, right.
Ball,
I mean,
ball.
Well, as soon as
I mean, if you can't read into that stuff and pair it with what I wrote, that's not on me.
Right. Well, yeah, that statement, as soon as I saw that statement again, that's why I had an issue. And I know he addressed this yesterday. Like, I think he said something like, my thoughts didn't catch up with the feelings yet or whatever, right? Yeah. Well, I mean, I had a big issue that I read this statement, this ridiculous, these long-winded comments from Burke, Nihil, and Brinker, and the all the time, like, wow, they're already, like, they are sub-tweeting. I mean, that's about Rand. That's a rip on Rand, right? But that's what I'm asking, is that did you feel like yesterday was, you know, I guess it's like, okay, yes, people obviously didn't like everything Rand was doing. There were people who told you that, and you're not the only one. The results have been bad. I think that the talk of discipline would be another thing, right? The talk of, yeah, it looked good. This is something Brinker said in his session with you. Things look good, right? We had free agents, and then you kind of realize, okay, need to be more disciplined. But then when he says something like that, I immediately go to, okay, are you not as responsible as he is for that, right? That's what I keep coming back to. That lack of discipline. Was that Rand strong arm and saying, sorry guys, I'm in charge of personnel, this is what we're doing, against your better judgment? Or were you on board and then later in retrospect saying, we screwed that up? Yeah, you also screwed it up.
Well, I mean, if we're taking him at his word, and I know a lot of people have trouble with that concept, but let's just live in that world for a minute. He said yesterday he had not authority. What was the thing he had?
Responsibility, but not authority.
But not authority. They carved things out with the same structure it is now, except for final say, where the GM was going to focus on the ball, and Brinker was going to take care of, you know, oversight on that, but take care of all of the other stuff, and let the guy basically make the football decisions. The way Borgonzi was talking about it yesterday, and the way it was announced with Ran, and I tend to believe that Ran made most of the personnel decisions in 2024. I do.
But of course, we also have the we have the trade with Kansas City, which you've written about, which
Brinker was in the middle of, right. But it doesn't mean that he initiated the concept. Now, I don't think he was off board with it, but it doesn't mean that Rand wasn't a driver of it also, right?
Brad from Clarksville says, PK, break it down. Is Brinker a fool or what?
I don't know.
There you go, Brad. I mean, it's look.
I need to see. I need to see.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I will say, I mean, the presser yesterday, it kind of was a bit stilted, right, as Borgonzi is getting introduced. I've found Brinker to be, I think he's a decent communicator, it seems like.
He was nervous in this. He settled down as things went on.
It's actually easier to take questions and answer questions than it is, I think, to read prepared things.
Yes, we were in a board room, so we were sitting around a big table.
So you're talking about now his session, yeah, earlier.
And some people, you know, there were about 21 people in their press. Some spilled over to chairs, you know, that weren't at the table. Everybody put their tape recorders in front of him. He didn't sit at the head of the table. He sat in the middle of the table. And it was 35 minutes. So that paints the settings, the Eddie George room. So, you know, the wall with the TV screen on it where you could throw up slides or whatever to have a conversation is painted with all kinds of Eddie George, you know, numbers and stats. And then there's a small mural of Eddie George on the wall in another spot.
People are asking for the transcript.
I'm not sharing the transcript, and I hope nobody would share the transcript. It's not for you. It's for us. It's a transcript of what we asked and what he answered. And then we share with you the answers as we find appropriate. I don't understand why this is such a difficult concept.
Well, we come back, we'll have someone rant, but I will say that, you know, that there's always a price. There's always a price for someone. So just keep that in mind, Texter.
Yeah, Venmo me.
Yeah. Robbie and Rex Show, we'll be back with the rant, a rant of some sort. 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
This is so frustrating.
He's kind of ugly, though. With the Tennessee Oilers, gonna get all over you. It's that time of day for the rant, but it's not the Rex Rant. I know you're going to be very surprised to find out that PK has to bitch about something. Go ahead, PK.
I mean, you create a rant segment, and then you're
perfect,
like,
for it.
Paul has something to complain about.
It's made for you. Do your
thing.
Look,
I invented primary complaint in this town.
That was I enjoyed that segment.
Listen, I have an Apple computer, and I have an iPhone. And these things are supposed to sync. It's all set to sync. Everything should sync. But I put a phone number in my phone, and it doesn't sync, and I'm texting it on my computer. The text exchanges, but on my phone, it'll say Joe Rex Road, and in my computer, it'll just have your phone number. Not you specifically. That's updated a long time ago, but a new one. It's set to sync every day or whatever. My wife puts our church's calendar into the phone, but you have to click accept on everything. There were like 200 entries. It's the whole year's calendar. On my phone, I sat there tapping, okay, 200 times to get it all into the thing. Then I go to my calendar on my computer, and all of the things are sitting there waiting to be accepted. And if I accept them again, they'll all be in my calendar twice. So what do I do? Why won't it update? This is a rant and a request for help. Why are these things not syncing up?
Have you ever hooked up your phone to your laptop?
Yes.
Have you let it actually download all of your contacts?
Yes.
Is your iCloud full?
No.
I mean,
just doesn't do what it's supposed to do.
Well, there might be a storage problem.
There's not a storage. I just cleaned out a whole bunch of stuff.
I don't know, PK.
This is not a me problem. This is a them problem. Them.
I don't
evil
know.
Apple.
I'm going to ask. So text line, help out if you
Tim Cook's busy at the damn inauguration, and he's not making Apple work.
If you have any suggestions, please let us know. Before we get to Charles, I want to try to keep up with the text line, okay? I'm going to try to keep up.
You always say that, and you never keep up.
Well, I'm trying, okay? So Caleb says, PK, or not Caleb, this is an unnamed texture. Was that the first time Callahan and Borgonzi met in person?
No, and this is Jared spreading this. This is why Jared is such a danger. And he's
ooh,
in
there's
the
a
room.
Good rant.
He's in
a
the
second
room.
Rant.
He's in the room, and he has an opportunity to ask it. Does he ask it? No, because he wants to come here and spread a conspiracy theory, not knowing it.
Which is what? What's the conspiracy
Which
theory?
Which is that they hadn't met before the press conference.
So Jared
yesterday.
Said on the show they hadn't met?
Jared said on the show, I'm listening because I'm driving back.
Oh, you,
I had to
you
turn
listen
it off
all
during,
day. You
I had
listen
to turn
the whole
it off
show.
During Chris Sanders, who has no business being on the radio. I'm sorry. It's true.
Jeez.
But he says, I watched the bro hug between Callahan and Borgonzi, and I said, that's a hug between two guys who've never met each other. This is his interpretation. He's now TMZ watching a hug and interpreting whether the people have met before.
What?
It's ridiculous.
I mean, I can see, like, that's a hug between two people who, like, aren't close.
No, and then he's saying, he's dragging Jill Jelinek in it. He says, I make eye contact with her, and she's clearly thinking the same thing. So now he's reading the mind
of Jill.
Did he ask her? He didn't say he asked her. He said he made eye contact, and they definitely thought the same thing.
Good God.
So think of the scale of this. He's interpreting the hug. By watching the hug, this genius knows the relationship that they have. And then he makes eye contact with Jill, and he's a mystic, and so he knows what Jill's thinking based on that, drags her name into it. And then a whole press conference ahead, 40 minutes, he does not ask Borgonzi about his relationship with Callahan and how much they'd met, where he could have gotten clarification on this, because he prefers to come on the air and speculate about it. And now this guy thinks they haven't met. That's what's happening to Nashville. So right. So the people that listen to Stillman take this as fact and now believe the coach and the GM hadn't met before this press conference. That's the danger of Jared Stillman.
Boy, that's pretty right. – That's a much better rant, by the way. Yeah, having not met again, I haven't listened to Jared, so I mean I generally trust
and then
your interpretation of things.
He asked Chris Sanders to interpret it. So Chris, who's completely detached from the Titans, Chris, could you interpret my interpretation of the hug? That's what I heard in my car when I turned it off.
How do I miss these things? Jared, if you're listening, I'd love to hear your
I mean, it's outrageous. There's no response to it. It's an outrage. And that's what he wants. He wants outrage, and that's what he gets. And congratulations on the ratings that come with that outrage. It's absolutely irresponsible, unprofessional, horrific.
I mean, this should have been the rant all along. You got two rants in one.
I don't want to rant about Stillman because it draws attention to Stillman, and that's Stillman's lifeblood.
Well, but if Jared is doing irresponsible things, then Jared needs to. I want to hear
he
it now.
He had another one.
I want to hear
you
it
You want
now.
Another one?
Sure.
He had another
Why
one.
Not?
He comes back and he says, here's what I think is happening. Now, he's been at two press conferences where he could have asked questions about this, but he didn't ask questions about it. He came back. He purposely didn't ask questions about it so he could come in here and say, this is what I think is happening, okay. When it's not in evidence at all. The GM's going to pick the players and the coach is going to coach the players, as if the coach is going to have no involvement in the players whatsoever. You and I had the conversation earlier.
Yeah, well,
it's a recipe for disaster for a GM to pick players the coach doesn't want. There was no indication yesterday at all that Mike Borgonzi would be picking players against Brian Callahan's
completely
will.
Independent of
independent.
That's a terrible
and
idea.
There's no team in the league that is having a GM pick players that the coach doesn't want. Maybe, as I said, a seventh rounder where he says, hey, I really would like you, Brian, to take this guy, even though you're not sold on him, because I really see something. And I believe you can make him work, you and your inside linebackers coach or whatever.
Yeah.
But an earlier round guy, there is no way Mike Morganzi is just like, these are two distinctly separate departments, and the team is being assembled over here, and the coach is dealing with what he gets over there. That's an old school mentality that existed once upon a time that is completely gone now in collaborative NFL. And Jared could have easily said, so Mike, it sounds like you're picking the players and Brian's not going to have, but he doesn't ask it because he wants to come in here and stir things up by saying, what I believe is now I'll go to my kid's haircut and somebody will say, so I hear Borgonzi's going to pick the players separate of Callahan and not have it.
So I've heard the spiel, which is like crispy, and it's like, that's right.
Crispy said it once, so it's it. And yeah, Floyd touched on it once, so that's the rule.
I just coach you. You pick him, I coach him. That is a terrible, terrible hockey, idea. Football, I hope exactly that Jared doesn't think that's actually like a good idea. It's not even reality.
I think that's what's happening. That's what I came back, and I think that's what's happening. And because I think that's what's happening, you should go around town and tell everybody that's what's happening. And now this whole thing will be miscast and more confused. And it'll be more confused because I, the master of confusion, have helped the whole city get confused about it.
And when we come back, Charles Robinson will join the show. We'll see if he has any thoughts on this. Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
This is Amy Brown from Feeling Things with Amy and Kat. Back to school season always feels like a fresh start, not just for kids, but for all of us. It's a great reminder to create new routines and find meaningful ways to connect with our family, friends, and community. Hasbro Games make it easy to gather around the table. Put the screens away, share some laughs, and create joyful memories together. Whether it's Monopoly, Connect Four, Guess Who, or another family favorite, there's something for everyone. You can find these and other Hasbro favorites at your local Walmart, walmart.com, or simply tap the link in today's show notes to bring more play into your week.
This is Rick Burgess from The Rick Burgess Show. If you're still auto-renewing your car insurance without shopping around, you are probably throwing money away. I'm telling you, go check out Insurify. In about 2 minutes, totally free, you can compare quotes from over 100 companies all in one place. Now, here's what I love. Insurify actually monitors your rates and alerts you when prices drop, so you never miss out on a better deal. Millions of people have used it to stop overpaying, and there's no reason you shouldn't too. Do yourself a favor. See what you can save right now at Insurify.com.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on FinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to FinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.